Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor of Lighthouse and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic. A gourmet meal for the mind.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, all of you who participated in this year's Lights On Banquet. Special thanks to Pat and Patricia of Pat's Automotive, who provided the Mossberg semi-automatic 8-load shotgun with fiber optic sights and pistol grip, and the Lighthouse Baptist Church, who provided a beautiful leather-bound Bible for our God and Gun Clingers home defense kit this year that was won by sweet little frail Mindy Stevens in our drawing at the Lights On Banquet. And again, my thanks to all who attended and my condolences to all of you who were unable to come. Additionally, Phil Tate of Tate's Avocados provided a special mystery prize worth hundreds of dollars in itself, which was won by, of all things, Mindy's husband, Ryan Stevens. That was amazing. And then my special thanks to Lou Silva of Have It Wired, who prepared the delicious top block feast we enjoyed. And my thanks to all the Lighthouse Baptist Church family who participated, and especially the servers whose warm and competent and gracious hosting of the event made it all very special. And then, of course, the brain masseur served up a stimulating brain massage. The event truly is the highlight of my year. I think, however, that from now on, I'm going to block out November. I just returned from Canada after a grueling speaking schedule, and so I was really tired Friday night, but everyone told me they didn't notice. Anyway, thank you for your support of the Brain Massage Radio Show. Folks, it's the ambassadors and the patrons that make this possible. And if you would like to become a patron, go to our podcast site at baptistlighthouse.podbean.com. Click on the big green Become a Patron button there along the top. And then to become an ambassador, call or write, and we'll get back to you with details. Call 1-888-770-8000 and go to thebrainmassageshow.com and send me an email. All right, what's on the agenda today? Man, what's with Friday lately? You know, it's supposed to be TGIF, right? Thank God it's Friday. But lately, another terrorist attack now. Only this time, news got to me soon enough to include my comment on it here in my weekend show. A Radisson was attacked in Mali. And Mali, as you probably know, was once a French colony. Mali has been tormented by terrorists for a while now, a few years. Let's see, since 2012. UN and French forces are assisting them in fighting these terrorists. It's been suggested that the attack on Mali at the Radisson, very near our embassy there, by the way, was intended to disrupt a group of diplomats who were meeting there to discuss peace. Although, you know, that might have been incidental to the terrorists, whose tactic has been to strike international targets, especially ones where Westerners gather. I understand in this case a car with diplomatic plates drove to the front of the hotel. Men armed with AK-47s exited the car, stormed into the hotel with their weapons blazing, killing 10, and took over 100 hostages. Where is that? 170, 30 employees and 140 guests. I understand UN and Malian forces launched a counterattack that apparently, according to this report, was so successful all the hostages have been freed. But the terrorists are still holed up in the building. How'd they work that one out? From an earlier Western journalism report that I had just received now, I see that 30 of the hostages had been released by the terrorists because they could quote a verse from the Quran. A little religious test there, eh? And that UN, French, and a contingency of American special forces, troops, are going floor by floor freeing the hostages. So, apparently, the terrorists did not round up everyone in the hotel at gunpoint, but because the terrorists took the hotel, everyone in it was automatically considered a hostage. Okay, so now, they think they've gotten all the hostages out, but this later report suggests there were still clearing floors of hostages. So, both reports suggest the operation is a continuing affair under the belief that some terrorists are still in the... Anyway, it's a developing story, and you know how that is. You get a lot of conflicting reports. But it makes you wonder what to expect next Friday. ISIS has openly threatened to attack New York and Washington, you know. That's Washington, D.C., an ISIS supporter boasted to a Breitbart reporter, quote, and he's referring to Islamic State, will not leave these countries alone without them having to suffer from the blows of the Mujahideen, which is refers to the jihadists, in a way that will let them understand that their war is lost. He goes on, there's no way that ISIS territory remains under aerial bombardment without a violent retaliation deep in the capitals of those countries. Certainly the Mujahideen of the Islamic State will not hesitate to attack the head of the infidel states and the head of global terrorism, America. Yes, who were the terrorists? And all those who support the U.S. and back it in its crusade war against the Muslims in Syria and Iraq, end quote. And that little tirade from Abu Anna al-Ansari, terrorist leader of the Salafi jihadist group in the Gaza Strip. He boasted that the Mujahideen are, quote, waiting for every opportunity in order to carry out attacks in all countries of the Crusader Coalition, end quote. Isn't that clever? And he said their attacks will shake our existence. And he said, quote, wars are dynamic and the battle will move soon to the depth of their homes. It will happen sooner or later, end quote. Oh, now, that gave me pause. You understand what he's saying here? The language is a bit odd to us, to the depth of their homes. What he's saying is that at some point, the terrorists will be attacking Americans at the depth of attacking their homes. So, Mindy, lock and load that shotgun that you won at the Lights On Banquet. And then, in typical radical irrationality, Ansari explains this is all justified. Why? Because Americans are targeting civilians. And proof of that? Well, he points to the fact that some civilians have been killed in some of the attacks. Quote, the civilian victims in the areas targeted prove that it has nothing to do with the ISIS infrastructure, end quote. So ISIS attacks villages of civilians, beheading and crucifying, especially Christians, right in front of their children, by the way. Non-combatants, mind you, murdered only because they're Christians. And then Obama sends our military to attack them for their atrocities. And does he include in his statement of justification for bombing ISIS in Syria and Iraq the wanton genocide being perpetrated against Christians? Oh no! He does not want anyone to think this is a Christian crusade. So, no, he does not mention the Christians being slaughtered. He does not even mention those that the terrorists are culling out from among the refugees fleeing Syria and Iraq that they are murdering in the roadside. No, he goes out of his way to make sure no one gets the idea that he's retaliating against them for the wholesale slaughter, the beheading, the crucifixion, the pressing of young Christian women to be their sex slaves, and all that. No. Obama makes certain no one could get the idea that our military might be used to take vengeance against these evildoers for killing Christians. And anyway, some Muslim civilians get killed in the attacks, in spite of all our efforts to avoid civilian casualties. And then the terrorist says, well, this is the reason that they are justified for all their killings. It's because America is targeting civilians. See? It's right there in front of you. A civilian got killed in an attack. All right, let's see. I hit you, okay? And then you hit me back. And then from then on, my justification for continuing to hit you is that you hit me. That makes perfect sense to these radical, crazy Muslims. Typical wild Muslim irrationality. There's really only one way to deal with this sort of thinking, this kind of thing, and that is to destroy them so thoroughly they can no longer make war against us. But of course, Obama wants to disarm us and give Iran nuclear arms. So they attack us. We respond by attacking them in order to defend ourselves. And from then on, we have to listen to these idiots justify attacking us because we attack them. Unbelievable. But what we really want to talk about is exactly what I warned you to look out for in my short subject podcast addressing the attacks on Paris, in which, among many other things, I pointed out that we know at least one of the attackers got out of Syria and into the West as a refugee, posing as a refugee. I said, watch Obama minimize the role of ISIS in the Paris attacks. Watch for him to equivocate and crawfish in his response. Watch for him to find a way to justify continuing forward with his plan to bring in tens of thousands of refugees. You know, they keep talking about 10,000 refugees, but you need to be aware that's only the first wave, my friends, which is scheduled, by the way, to be brought into this country within this fiscal year. And the United States fiscal year began October 1st. However, the number that has been officially approved by Obama is 70,000. But then Kerry said that that could rise to 100,000. And others have estimated it'll go to 200,000. But we know that a fake passport of one of the attackers in Paris was used by one of the terrorists to gain refugee status and then get into the West and connect with a cell group in Paris and then joined them in the recent terrorist attack on that city. But don't worry, it's only widows and orphans. Yep, and I'm looking at a picture of Syrian refugees gathered here in Louisiana, waiting to be processed. And, you know, unless Muslim widows and orphans look a whole lot different than any widow or orphan I've ever seen, then there's not a single widow or orphan in this group. This is a group of young, full-grown Muslim men, all right? Now, this situation is dynamic, indeed, Mr. Ansari. And as he said, we'll reach our homes soon, eh? But according to one report, one of the refugees is missing. And then a later report said, well, he had been placed in a home outside Louisiana. They can't keep up with these people already. All young Muslim men. Not one woman or child in the group. So maybe all the Muslim women and the children are segregated from the men and not seen anywhere in the picture or any other picture I've seen of these hordes of Muslims coming into these various countries. Look, the Muslim Brotherhood president alleged recently mocked the GOP conservatives who want to stop this insanity as if they're afraid of widows and orphans. He's the most insulting, petulant, little man that we've ever had in the presidency. And he's either really, really dumb or just purposely a snarky little petulant brat. He said, quote, apparently they are scared of widows and orphans coming into the United States of America. At first, they were too scared of the press being too tough on them in the debates. Now they're scared of three-year-old orphans. That doesn't seem so tough to me. About 3 hours after Obama delivered his characteristic, arrogant, snarky, mean-spirited jab at, well, anyone who opposes him, a female terrorist wearing a suicide vest blew herself to hell. Now, I'm not using that word as a pejorative. I'm using it like you would use any noun, or perhaps in this case a proper noun to name any place, you know, like New York or Santa Maria or Chicago or Russia or hell. It's a place, and it has a citizenry. And when the soul of a suicide terrorist leaves its body in pieces on earth to return to dust, that soul goes to hell where it joins the rest of these wicked people. But don't be concerned. Don't be afraid of widows and three-year-old orphans. You have it on the word of Muslim Brotherhood President-elect Obama. That's all that's coming in from Syria. I was informed recently that it has been confirmed, by the way, that Obama is an official member of the Muslim Brotherhood. But we knew that anyway, so... Okay, and if that's not enough to comfort you, to not worry about all these refugees coming in here, don't worry about that. Terrorist Ansari, you know, the guy I quoted just a moment ago, the one who earlier assured us that ISIS will not hesitate to attack Washington, D.C., and who gave us fair warning that sooner or later the Islamic radical jihad-headed, you know, democracy, no, Islam, yes, you know, down with democracy, up with Islam, that crowd, according to Ansari, will sooner or later be attacking us in our homes. But you should not be concerned about the refugees because, well, you have it on the word of Ansari that, quote, such claims, you know, he's referring to refugees joining terrorist cells. He goes on, have nothing to do with reality and are not true, end quote. So it's okay, he said, quote, no refugee is among the brothers who carried out these blessed attacks, end quote. You know, he emphasized that over and over, and he said again, quote, no refugee who wanted to come and live in France was chosen for this attack, end quote. Now, why does he want us to look the other way from the refugees? Isn't that a relief to you? If terrorist Ansari assures us, well then, you know, who could be concerned? Of course, he did not mention that documents were recently discovered in February in which ISIS announced their plans to use Libya as a gateway to smuggle refugees into Europe. Okay? But, hey, don't look at facts like that. If your Muslim Brotherhood President-elect Obama says it's okay, well, hey, you know, if he says it's okay, what more assurance do you need? Well, I'm going to tell you where mine is. I've got mine locked up in my safe, and you better keep your powder dry too, my friend. Hold on through the break. I'll be right back.
Folks, I've gone a bit long in this segment. We're going to skip the break and just roll right along.
Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps of the church belfry art, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. They're working at it right now, let me tell you. I also should extend my thanks to John over there at Range Master in San Luis. Now, he's participated in these right from the start, and I understand helps us in making the provision of that gun and the God and Gun Clinger home defense kit. We appreciate his service and his help very much. Thank you. Trump is under fire for allegedly saying he's in favor of a national Muslim registry. And of course, this was fabricated by the MSM. What Trump wants is a wall, and I think we had better establish a wall right now against allowing any of these refugees into America. From a recent Drudge report, I see it has been confirmed that the fingerprints of the suicide terrorist who blew his soul into hell outside the French National Soccer Stadium in the Paris attack matched those of a refugee that had passed into the West through Greece back in October. He used a fake passport to claim asylum, got a temporary six-month pass, went to Paris, joined his Mujahideen brothers in their attack on Paris, and the name on his passport was Ahmad al-Muhammad. And now guess what? We know that eight other al-Muhammads used the same papers to get into Europe. I mean, how many Ahmad al-Muhammads can there be? Is one coming to your neighborhood soon? Courtesy of Governor Can't Tell a Man from a Girl Brown. Then in Serbia yesterday, Serbian police arrested a man carrying a passport that was virtually a carbon copy of the one found on Ahmad. Yeah, same name, same date of birth, same place of birth. The only difference here was that there was no photograph on this passport. Serbian officials said six others came in with the same papers. If you don't see what's going on here, you are one of those dumb sheeple that Savage talks so much about. I keep that thought in mind as I come to the conclusion today. Forgery is becoming a booming business over there. Middle East forgers are offering specials on forged Syrian passports, birth certificates, and ID cards for as little as £165, or a little over $250. It's a hot business right now. A journalist for the UK Guardian was offered fake Syrian passports by two separate smuggling rings. We know they're trying to get in, and ISIS plans to embed terrorists among refugees has been outed. FBI confirms that six men from Pakistan and Afghanistan have illegally crossed our border, and that eight Syrians were recently caught at the Texas border in Laredo. Is it any wonder that at least 25 governors have the sanity and sense to tell Obama no, they're not going to receive any Syrian refugees? Of course, our own Governor Brown, who can't even tell a male from a female, certainly has no clue how to distinguish an Islamic terrorist from an Islamic refugee. But 25 other governors have closed their borders to this nonsense. So what is our brave, newly appointed Obama opposition leader, Ryan, doing to stop Muslim Brotherhood member Obama from making America another ISIS-occupied Syria-Iraq? The leadership vacuum he created in Iraq and in foreign affairs generally has given rise to ISIS. And now his leadership vacuum in America at this critical juncture in our history is about to give a foothold to ISIS in America, where they can fulfill the vision cast by Ansari that very soon the Mujahideen will take their fight to American homes. They want to bring this to our streets, my friend. You've got to stop them. So what is our brave, newly appointed Obama opposition leader doing about this? Well, friends, I'm sad to report that the recent bill passed by the House ostensibly to address our concerns about embedded terrorists riding into the country on the flood of Syrian refugees will actually do nothing to protect the United States. Read the bill. Essentially, at the bottom line, it says the refugees can come in, but only if the Obama administration certifies that they have been vetted. No procedure for this vetting is laid out that I can find, and clearly they can't keep up with them already. They're losing them in Louisiana. Is Ryan naive, or are these guys just blind leaders of the blind? All this action by Congress can be hoped to accomplish is to make the dupes of the GOP believe the establishment gopers actually do want to do something about this problem, other than just find a way to pin blame on Obama for it. But so far as I can tell, all this bill will do is say to Obama, you must certify that these refugees have been vetted. Basically, that's it. So long as you tell us that they've been appropriately vetted. That's all he has to do is tell them that. First, we don't have the capacity to vet 10,000, much less 70,000 refugees. There is no registry in Syria or in Iraq or Iran or Pakistan or Afghanistan or any of the other stands that provides any assurance that those coming in are not terrorists. You would have to send operatives on the ground, knocking on doors, talking to acquaintances, stuff like that. And that would take resources and time we simply do not have. Why doesn't Iran take them? Why doesn't Saudi Arabia take them, or Jordan, or Lebanon? I mean, you can name any number of Arab countries that really should step up and take on this burden. You know, there is one thing that you could do. When the Gileadites in the Bible years had a problem identifying friend from foe, they used a word that only their own could pronounce, and that word was shibboleth. Their foe could not, quote, frame to pronounce it right, end quote. So let's give our refugees our own sort of shibboleth. If they identify as Christians, well, they can come on in. If they carry a cross, ooh, now that would do it. If they quote a verse from the Bible, there you go. You know, the way the terrorists in Mali recently released hostages who could quote a verse from the Quran. You know what is really interesting is that almost none of the refugees coming over here are Christians, by the way, because almost all of them are caught by Islamo murderers and killed before they reach the borders. A religious test? You bet. In fact, according to our laws, governing rules for granting asylum, one of the criteria for obtaining asylum is religious persecution. Every genuine Christian applying for asylum ought to get it. If they say they are Sunni, being persecuted by Shia, well, they should be sent to an Islamic country that is predominantly Sunni. If they say they are Shiite, you know what? Unless they are a widow or a three-year-old orphan, they should be sent back to wherever they came from. But look that widow over carefully. She might be wearing a suicide vest, as was a woman recently in Paris. What a mess. Actually, the Cruz plan achieves exactly what I'm talking about. It's called the Terrorist Refugee Infiltration Prevention Act of 2015. Essentially, it shuts down all requests for asylum by anyone in a, quote, country that contains territory controlled in substantial part by a foreign terrorist organization as designated by the State Department, end quote. He names Iraq. Think about that, by the way. This is Obama's doing. Our troops liberated Iraq at much cost of blood, and Obama's bungling, some would say treasonous, policies has now turned those dear people over to the control of ISIS, which is even worse than Saddam, if that's possible. But Cruz names anyway Iraq, Syria, Yemen, Libya, and Somalia as samples. It does provide one exception. Quote, a refugee from one of the identified high-risk countries can be admitted, but only if the prospective refugee proves clearly and beyond doubt that he or she satisfies the requirements for refugee status and is a member of a group that has been designated as a victim of genocide by the State Department or by act of Congress. End quote. Now, Obama refuses, by the way, to declare Christians as targets for genocide. Did you know that? He will face his judgment sooner or later. Matthew 25, when he faces King Jesus, and his knees bow, and his wicked tongue finally confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord, and not Allah, he will be held to account for his failure to come to the aid of Christians, Christ's people, being persecuted and tortured and murdered. And guess what Jesus says to that crowd? At the end of that chapter, depart from me, ye cursed, into the lake of everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. So anyway, even Cruz's excellent bill will need the help of Congress, and apparently he recognized that. So he included any group declared by the State Department or Congress as victims of genocide. But they will have to prove beyond reasonable doubt that they are members of these groups in order to be admitted. So once again, Cruz steps in with a rational, coherent, workable plan to solve the problems facing us right now. And now, my friends in my radio audience that did not get my response to the terrorist attack in Paris, you can go to our website, thebrainmassageshow.com, and you'll find it posted as show number 545 and the letter S, which indicates it's a supplement to show number 545. I think I made very clear my support for our brothers in France, my appreciation for President Hollande's willingness to identify the enemy clearly as ISIS, and his determination to respond to this attack as he should, as an act of war. I also mentioned my concern that, in fact, France might have been an audition for a more expanded attack of the same kind planned for America. And now, having made my sentiments clear, allow me now to say what it appears France has come to realize. Finally, appeasement of Islam is surrender to Islam. Appeasement is surrender. Get that into your head. France has followed suit with Obama, much, I'm sure, now to their chagrin. And they got what's planned for us. Obama created the vacuum of leadership that allowed ISIS to rise to power. ISIS is Obama's legacy. And as I mentioned in the last segment, Obama's failure of leadership right now, at this critical moment in our history, is going to allow ISIS to rise in America. He has lowered our shields. He's making us more vulnerable every day. And although none dare call it treason, Obama is unquestionably the reason we're in this mess right now. We need to apologize to Netanyahu and to Israel. France, you need to apologize to Israel and to Bordeaux. And all the Western powers need to align themselves with Israel right now and clean up this mess. We're going to sit back and let Russia, who is a friend of Iran and has fraternized with Hezbollah, let them take care of this? How many times has America and her friend France cautioned Israel to be careful how they respond to terrorist attacks on Israel? How often have we in France referred to attacks on Israel as, what, incidents, refusing to call them what they are, terrorist attacks? And sorry, the boasting terrorist I quoted at the beginning of the show today said ISIS will not rest until every country involved in what he called the Crusade Coalition. Let me pause a moment here. You see, Obama, They're going to call it a crusade no matter what you do. So Ansari promised ISIS will not rest till they have clobbered every country that resists Islam. Islam means surrender or submission, by the way. Islam is not a religion in the sense we understand it coming out of the Enlightenment era. Islam is a political movement, more like communism or Marxism than like the Baptist Church, dedicated to world dominion. The ideological underpinnings are identical with communism, the one difference being that communism operated on the idea that all religion was evil and had to be eradicated. Islam, on the other hand, operates on the supposition that all religions except their version of Islam are evil and must be eradicated. One was committed to the religious view of atheism, and this one's committed to the religious view of Allahism. Wahhabism is what it really is. But at the end of the day, it's the same thing that rampaged the earth under the swastika. And whoopee, you're no more capable to discern between a Christian and a devil than Brown is to tell the difference between a boy and a girl. Neither Hitler nor McVeigh was any more a Christian than Iran's Khomeini, who, by the way, has a whole lot in common with both Hitler and McVeigh, and very little in common with Jesus Christ. I need to move toward my conclusion today. Progressive sensitivities are leading us to destruction. The perception that we are weak, submissive, passive, it's destroying us. I mentioned my experience on a train from Moscow to Minsk back in 1991 or 92, who told me that Christians are weak while Muslims are strong, and this because our leader, Jesus Christ, is effeminate. Looks like a woman in all the pictures, he told me. While his leader, Muhammad, was a fearless warrior. Well, I read to him from the Bible the story of Jesus taking a whip and clearing the money changers from his father's house. And then I read to him the description of Jesus returning on his white horse, his face shining as the sun in its strength, his eyes as a flame of fire, a two-edged sword from his mouth flying out against his enemies, whom he will trample beneath his feet till their blood rises to the horse bridles. Well, let me end this show by pointing out something else to our Islamo-fascist friends that they continue to misunderstand and, because of it, misunderestimate us. While it's true that Christians are sheep in Christ's pasture, they're not your sheep, buddy. It's true that many Christians behave as if they are the world's sheep, but a true Christian, born of that blood that was shed on Calvary, is a sheep to his God, but a lion to this world. Remember, Jesus is the Lamb of God, but he is not your lamb, fella. Unless you're a believer who has confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus, meaning Allah is not God, and your allegiance is not with Muhammad, but you're aligned under Jesus Christ as Lord, then in that case, you will meet the Lamb. But if you're not one of his, you'll meet the Lion of the tribe of Judah. It is interesting in Revelation 5, 4-6, notice what happens when the elders announce that the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed to open the book that brings this world to its end. It says, "And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And that spirit dwells in us." And let me tell you something. You notice this. He announced the Lion of the tribe of Judah. But when a believer turned to look, he saw a lamb. Let me tell you something, fella. When you look for the lamb, unless you're a believer, you're going to meet the lion. Christians need to understand this. We are Christ's sheep. No doubt about that. We are not Obama's sheep, though. We are Christ's sheep. Oh, yes. But we are not sheep to be fed to the wolves of Islam. They need to be aware of the lion that's in the lamb. "I have lit the lamps of the church belfry arch, and now you let me know you see that they are on. Call and say lights on if you see the lights are on, and we'll ride like Revere and spread the warning. Or say lights off, which means you reject what I'm saying and disagree strongly with me. Call 1-888-770-8000. That's 1-888-770-8000. We'll leave a message for me in our listener response hotline. God bless you. God save America. And I'll see you in church."